Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 574, Extraction, the Netflix extravaganza.
It was.
I guess. So, well, real quick, let's introduce ourselves.
This is Joe.
And this is Tom. That's pretty simple. Kevin is still out because we record these back to back, so there's a little peek behind the curtain in case you hadn't figured that out.
Do away the secrets.
but he should return next week. And next week we will return to our previously promised misbegotten sequels, where we tackle the original, typically a classic, and then its misbegotten sequel. So we had originally intended, and we will still do, 2001, A Space Odyssey, followed by 2010, The Year We Make Contact. So
it's never good when you have more than three words in the
yeah,
title.
Yeah, that's typically, especially a subtitle, right? Like when it's, not the main title, right. But when it's like, yeah. But it is a very cumbersome title. So.
Yeah.
But
it's a cumbersome movie, too.
It'll be an interesting discussion on both points. I've already watched both, and it's an interesting.
I haven't watched it since my initial watching however many years
ago. Have you ever seen the second one?
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I had never seen it, so. I don't want to get into it now, but it'll be an interesting discussion. So,
yes.
Also shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts. You could go there, rate, review, and subscribe. Most importantly, subscribe so you never miss an episode. And of course, you can check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, share an episode with your friends. That's always helpful. And you can check us out on Patreon if you just can't get enough of us, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month you get all sorts of bonus content and you help out, and we appreciate that. So anyway, there we go. Extraction. So it's hard to believe that this was never intended for theaters.
It's mind-boggling.
Holy crap. They must have spent
just
a ton of money on this thing.
And it's not cheap. It's not a cheap creative team.
No, nothing about this movie.
It's the Russo brothers.
Right.
You know, like.
Well, they were the producers. They didn't direct it.
Well, sure.
It was and Sam Hargrave, I guess. He's directed some short films. I think this is his first feature-length film. But
he's going to be a Marvel guy.
Yeah. Oh, clearly. Yeah. And he's, I guess he's a stunt coordinator, and he's been stunt coordinator on a lot of the Marvel films. And it shows in this. This movie was fun. I wish it had a little bit better of a plot. Like, the plot was pretty rudimentary.
Yeah.
But the action was so well done that it rose above that. You know?
This is a 2020 version of an 80s action movie.
Totally, yeah.
The plot is minimal, and you've got a badass hero who just can, you know, do anything. It's crazy that I feel like the Russos have figured out that, like, oh, we can get our other Avengers people, like, different roles.
Yeah, totally.
Because, I mean, they produced that 21 Bridges.
Okay, yeah. Which was okay.
But I mean, you know, you get Chadwick Boseman is Is that, that's who that is, right?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I had a moment where I was like, wait, wasn't he in?
Yeah.
But that was Chewie tell Yuji for. And
yeah, you start second guessing yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, right. But so, like, it's crazy that this was not in theaters.
Yeah, like, was this always, did Netflix acquire this or did they order this?
Maybe. I don't know. I have no idea. If they ordered this, this should have been like the Irishman. Like, this one needed to go to theaters.
Yeah, I'm really interested to know. Like, sometimes, like, there's movies that get made and then they pick them up, and sometimes it's they, you know, sometimes it's that, you know, that they are there from the beginning shepherding the film, and they, you know, they
right.
Because God, I don't know. I mean, I know they've spent a lot of money on movies, and honestly, I haven't watched very many of those kind of movies. I didn't watch that Mark Wahlberg one, the Spencer for Hire reboot.
It was, you know what? It was just like, it's weird. They have a look.
Right.
Like, these Netflix movies have a look, and it looked like this, and it was fine. Like,
did it look like it spent this kind of money? Like,
I don't think it looked, no. But there is just, like, the way it's shot just has a certain look to it.
Yeah.
And it's not like the Hollywood shine. Like, there is just something different about the way it looks.
Right.
Compared to, compared to the Avengers. But it does kind of have the similar look. But you know, and they want. I feel like the Spencer one had to be was supposed to be in theaters.
I don't think it was.
Really?
I mean, because it hit Netflix before COVID, so it certainly didn't get poached because of COVID. And I don't think it was. I think it was always a Netflix movie.
Wow.
So I mean, they're spending, you know, some of these movies, they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars, and this one sure looks like they did. It.
Well, there was the Michael Bay one with Ryan Reynolds too. That was garbage.
Yeah, I never saw it. And then I think the first, like, really, like, big one like that was that Will Smith movie, Bright.
Oh, sure. The follow-up to Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Yeah, for 10 years.
And I never saw that either. Because, honestly, these kind of movies don't do a whole lot for me. So I don't, so unless it's really good, I don't go out of my way to see them. Especially, like, if it was the movie of the week, I would go to the theater and watch it, but, like, I would never normally sit down and watch a movie like this.
So I have been, this has been, I've started it, and, you know, I've been home for almost a month straight.
Right.
So I have started and stopped this movie a bunch, because I start it, and then all of a sudden I'm called into action from the two children I have that are arguing over dirt at this point. I couldn't even, you know, get past the first 20 minutes.
Right.
But I saw somebody post, like, who wins the fight? Chris Hemsworth or Jason Bourne? And I was like, I mean, Hemsworth. Jason Bourne wasn't doing anything like this.
Yeah.
He was just punching guys in the face. This is like, I mean, if you want to make it's John Wick versus this guy.
Yeah.
Like, that's the,
totally.
That's the fight I want to see. And this is very much a John Wick style.
Yeah. It's balls to the wall action. I don't think it's quite as stylized as John Wick.
It's not,
but I think it's a fair comparison. I just want to also, like, don't want to overstate it, 'cause it doesn't have that. It doesn't do that same world building, and it isn't quite as, like, slick. It's not trying to be. It's not like it tries to be and fails, but in terms of just balls to the wall action, I mean, once you kind of get past the premise, which I guess let's dig into the actual plot of the movie, what there is of it.
The premise is very simple. Chris Hemsworth is a contract gun for hire, basically. I don't think his family is dead. I think that he just kind of left.
Well, I guess the kid died. He's got...
Maybe.
Because he said he had lymphoma.
Oh, like, true. That's true. I guess the kid does die. And that sends him into a...
spiral.
Punisher-style
right.
tailspin. And he gets this... It's the one last job, right? Like, this is the big one. A drug lord's son is kidnapped by a rival drug lord. And Hemsworth has been tasked with going to get him back. And of course, he doesn't really want to do it. He just wants to drink and be miserable. But he gets the number of dollar bills. And he says, okay, I'll do it. And so he's got his team. And, you know, he goes into... Did they say where they are?
Where, like, what's...
Like, where this whole thing takes place?
Yeah, it's, isn't it, it's in Bangladesh, Dhaka,
okay.
Bangladesh.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And
Thailand, like, I know it was filmed in Thailand and Bangladesh, but yeah, like, it was originally going to be called Dhaka. I think that's how you say it, D-H-A-K-A.
Okay.
But yeah, like, it's India, it's in Bangladesh and, like, that area.
And that's it.
Yeah.
That is the plot of this movie. So, I mean, and it's, the whole movie is Hemsworth trying to get this kid from point A to point B. And
it's not often you get a film title with one word that is also the entirety of the plot.
Yeah, and normally that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, when they're just being, you know, you don't get action movies like this anymore. Like, this is
not frequently, no.
The John Wick stuff was kind of the first throwback to the... I mean, I'm a kid of the 80s. These are the movies that I grew up on. Commando, Cobra, you know, like...
Right.
All of these tough guy action hero, blood and guts action movies. And they've stopped those ever since. I feel like the Bourne movies is kind of when that changed. When you turn Matt Damon into an action star, you're kind of changing the game.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely hit this period for a while where they wanted the action star to be more of an everyman, you know?
Yes.
Right. And less of a superhero, and now you're back to, like, it's literally Thor.
It's literally Thor.
Yeah, up there as the superhero, you know?
Right,
doing
right,
all this.
Right.
I feel like this movie, like, because there's a lot of really cool stunts in this movie, and clearly there was a lot of CGI assist, but it's like, it's very practical stunts with a CGI lift to maybe hide a wire or something like that. More akin to a Mad Max Fury Road.
The chase sequence is bonkers.
That chase sequence where it's all, I mean, I know it's trickery, but where it's all
one shot
presented to you as one tracking shot was like, crazy cool.
And there's
some really cool kills, like when he kicks the table
and
slides the guy right in the face. And I feel like there are so many stunts in this movie that, like, this director who was a stunt coordinator for Marvel probably went to the movie and was like, okay, and then Captain America's gonna do this, and then Kevin Feige was like, no, he's not.
Right.
And then Captain America shoves a guy's face in a rake, but not like a rake you get at Home Depot, but like the rake Silent Bob stepped on. Like, Kevin Feige's like, do you know what we do here? We're not doing that.
Like, I appreciate your ingenuity.
Right.
But no.
Right. Yeah. It's like, I feel like almost every stunt and, like, fight and in this movie is something that, like, he wanted to do in a Marvel movie and they were like, no. And he's just like jotting that down in my notebook for later. Right. And now he pulls them all out and he's like, I've got 10 years.
Wait. I've got a rated R movie with Thor, and I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, and I've got 10 years of ideas that Disney
and I'm going to use them all.
Disney,
I don't know if
on.
I'm going to get this chance again.
Totally.
That's basically the plot. The thing I didn't get was the guy who's his bodyguard, like, for whatever reason, is constantly fighting against Hemsworth. And I can't figure out why.
Yeah, it was a little like, and I was watching on my laptop when I was at work. So I, like, you know, I wasn't as focused on it as I should have been, to be perfectly fair.
Sure.
But I think what was going on is that I thought that, like, they were using him to get the initial extraction, and then he was trying to steal the kid back so he didn't have to pay him. Maybe,
I guess. But everybody says, like, I mean, even when he goes, so that basically the kid is out with his buddies, his dad's in jail. His dad's like the biggest drug lord in Bangladesh.
And he gets kidnapped. He goes to this party and gets kidnapped. And this head of security has to go to this kid's dad who's in jail and is like, look, we lost your son. I don't know what to tell you. Yeah.
Whoops.
Yeah. Whoops. I know I had one job, and I mucked that up. And I like the dad where the guy in prison's like, do you think you're safe from, like, I know that I'm in here, but do you think that you're honestly safe from me? He's like, I would need an army to go get this kid back. He's like, cool. Go get one.
Yeah.
So, like, that was the part where I was like, I mean, if they have the money, why are they?
I think according to the Wikipedia description, it says that the father fails to transfer the fund. So I guess that he's not going to pay, but he still expects this guy to get him back.
But then they keep talking about they've been swerved. Like, we've been set up, because somebody does end up killing this guy's team, like Sanjay, but I feel like it's like Senj, S-E-S-N-E-J, I think was his name.
Saju? Is that S-A-J-U? Maybe. J-U, that one?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Like, he shows up with the team.
Right.
Like, when they get to the, so they, Hemsworth rescues the kid. In a ridiculous action sequence in this house.
Yeah.
Where Hemsworth, destroys everybody. You're like, yeah, it's Thor. I get it. This is the way it should be. Like, he should just be smoking these dudes. And it's top notch. Like, they don't pull away. Everything's practical.
Yeah.
It's Hemsworth doing the stunts. Like, that. More props to that guy.
Yeah.
And he rescues the kid. And they take off, and he's got, like, his sniper buddy, and they're supposed to get to this boat. But in the meantime, they're told to, like, look, we lost the kid. And they have to, the other drug lords talks to, like, this colonel, this police colonel, and says, lock it all down. And the guy's like, I can't do that. He's like, you better do that.
You're going to figure out a way, or I'm going to drug lord you. Right.
Also, they throw a child off of a roof.
Yeah, this movie's pretty
brutal.
And
that's where I was like, this is an 80s action movie all over again.
Yeah.
So there's like a bunch of like street kids.
Street urchins.
And they're all kind of like this guy's eyes and ears all over the city. So money goes missing from this drug lord. And he's like, which one of you took it? And of course, nobody fesses up to it. And so they pick up one of these small children and just launch him off a roof. And there's no cuts. There's no like, right. We tricked you.
Yeah.
He legitimately launches a child off of a roof. And I do like the taller of these kids, where the guy's like, anybody else? And he's like, yeah, I know who did it. He's like, which one? He's like, the one you just threw off the roof. And I do like that even the drug lord doesn't buy it. He was like, all right. Like, that's slick.
But it's like,
I like you.
Yeah, but he's like, oh, but that was smart thinking. Yeah.
And that becomes a thing later. Like, yeah. That becomes a point later.
You know, maybe we should wait till we get there, this movie's hard to recreate from a plot standpoint, because once you kind of get the initial thing, it's just a collection of action scenes. There's not a whole lot of narrative.
No.
And, but there's a scene later where, like, those kids, you know, find Chris Hemsworth.
Oh.
I'm sure the character had Tyler Rake. And then he kills a guy with a rake. I get it. But
that,
like,
scene with the kids, it was my favorite scene of the movie.
Yeah, especially when the kids are doing legit stunt work.
Yep.
And I'm like, do they really have the kids doing this? Like, because he's in a battle with these kids and he's trying to take them out but not kill them, because they're kids. And
you can't really have your hero killing children.
Right, but he's still pretty rough and tumble with them.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well done. That's a well done scene. I think my favorite
scene,
and again, I don't know where it falls in the film, but when he's in that apartment complex that's kind of all like twisty turny, and he's on the balcony that runs next to the rooms. And
I think that's the scene that leads up to that's the one shot scene.
No. That you're thinking of the thing where they're in that car, they're in that like Toyota Camry or whatever.
Well, the scene you're talking about is the prelude to that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And it's like, and then like the kid keeps trying to get away while they're trying to get him. And then he keeps popping back up through other doors like Scooby-Doo. Uh-huh. And then he's he's just like, move. And the kid moves and he shoots a guy. And it's like,
Did you see the raid?
I have not.
The first raid and the new Judge Dredd with the guy that was Bones in Star Trek. Okay. Carl Urban. They are both that scene, but it's the entire movie.
Gotcha. And I own them both. I just haven't got around to watching them yet. They were on sale.
The Raid is one of the best action movies of the last decade.
Okay. But, hands down. But yeah, like I really like that scene. And then, yeah, and then if memory serves, it leads into that crazy cool car chase where it's just one camera shot.
Sort of.
Sort of. I'm sure that there was CGI involved in some trickery, but it looked great.
It looked amazing. Like, that was one of the best. And, like, we talk about maybe, like, they could have mounted the camera on the car, but what did we just talk about where the camera's, like, moving through the car? Didn't we just see something?
We did. I'm blanking on what it would have been, though.
It wasn't a good movie.
Yeah. Oh, it was that, the one with the rhythm section.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
rhythm
right.
section had a really cool scene. This movie outdoes that, but it was a really cool scene in rhythm section. Hey, real quick, I have to pee, and since there's just two of us, we're
just
going to have to
pause it.
But yeah, another movie with a scene like a similar scene is Children of Men.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But, and it's such a brilliant way to do a car chase because you can implement CGI, right? Like you don't have to, you know, kill a bunch of cars. You can figure out a way to show the intensity of a car chase, and just like the absolute insanity of that scene was incredible.
Totally.
And it's interesting that, you know, people kind of give the Russo brothers a bunch of guff. And I think, honestly, I think it's the John Cena effect. Here's your wrestling corner. Ding, ding. Beat you to it, Kevin. Right? Like, when John Cena first debuted as, like, the... he was way over with the fans. Like, massively over. Super popular. Cheered everywhere he went. And as time went on and that character kind of progressed, people kind of turned on it, right? Like, they were just tired of it.
Like Nickelback.
And I feel like... exactly like Nickelback. Fantastic. Yes. And I feel like the Russo brothers kind of fell into that trap, but they were still putting out spectacular movies.
Right.
You know, like everything they touched turned to gold from Winter Soldier on. And I think that's just kind of like people wanting to be crappy about them because they don't have anything else to be crappy about.
And I think that the same thing kind of compares with Nickelback. Like they're successful. And so some people just, they don't like it, so...
Yeah, they suck.
Yeah.
I mean, but I can't fault them for being successful.
I mean, do they? They're just a straight-ahead rock band? Just meat and potatoes rock and roll band? Like, they're nothing...
I guess that's...
Like, what about them sucks?
That's true.
Like, they're just...
I don't know. I feel like you look at the Foo Fighters, right?
Yeah.
And Dave Grohl comes off as a dude who loves music and is... like, Dave Grohl comes off to me as, like, super cool.
Yeah.
Where Chad Kroeger comes off as kind of like a douche nozzle.
I mean, I think Chad Kroeger comes off, I mean, I think he's not as cool as Dave Grohl, but like, but who is?
That's fair. You know, totally fair.
And it's like, and like what? But yeah, like I think he's kind of just nerd. I think he's kind of a nerd who somehow ended up in this big giant rock band.
That's,
you know what I mean?
Probably true. And married Avril Lavigne.
Yeah, for a little bit there. But yeah, like at the end of the day, like I think for whatever reason, they've achieved a level of success probably greater than what they deserve.
Sure.
I don't know that they should be an arena level rock band, but they are.
Maybe like VP Fair level rock band.
Yeah, but they are. And so
they are. No, that's
so somebody
they are
thinks they are. Like what if that's how many tickets you can sell, that's where you're going to play. You know,
I worked one of their concerts. I don't remember what album it was. Dark Horse, maybe.
I don't even know the name of any of their records. So.
Yeah, I think it was the Dark Horse tour. And I got to tell you, those fans, like they sold that place. They sold Scott Trade out and those fans went bonkers.
Yeah. So somebody's
Some corporate dude is like, I've written the check for the rest of my life. I created Nickelback. I don't have to do anything else ever.
50
again.
Million Elvis fans can't be wrong. But but you know, but that's the other thing too, is it's like they're like, oh, corporate rock. They're on Roadrunner Records. You know what I mean? Like,
I guess I don't know what that means.
That's a small record label. They just happened to blow up. You know?
Oh,
like,
okay.
So
okay.
It's not like it's not like they're funded by like Warner Brothers or Interscope. Like, they're, you know, it's a relatively small, you know, rock metal record label. You know,
not anymore.
It's like, I'm like looking at some of the bands on Roadrunner, Coheed and Cambria. Gojira,
they had a couple good albums. I like those guys.
Yeah. In This Moment, Korn, Slash's band is on there. Theory of a Dead Man, Stone Sour, Trivium.
Okay, so really, and Slipknot's not on there?
I don't think this page is listing everything, or maybe they were and they're no longer.
It would be weird if Stone Sour and Slipknot were on two different labels. Aren't they both fronted by Corey Taylor?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't know. But yeah, back to speaking of metal music, that's what this movie is. So Hemsworth gets the kid, they get to the boat, and then all of a sudden Hemsworth's entire team gets taken out by black ops guys. I don't know.
Yeah,
bad
like
guys.
Mercenaries.
Yeah. So now Hemsworth is kind of up poop creek without a paddle because he's alone in this country and he's got this kid who's got basically a bounty on his head. And he has to figure out a way to get him out of this country without him dying. Not out of this country, but get him back to where he needs to be.
Yeah.
And I guess I felt like, I mean, somebody even says at some point that the dad is going to kill this kid. Because it's David Harbour. David Harbour's in this movie,
yeah.
Randomly, which I didn't expect.
Right. Yeah, just out of nowhere.
When he shows up on screen, I was like, oh, cool. Maybe it's David Harbour that does say that, where he's like, the dad's going to kill him anyway.
Well,
like, he's a failure.
And the dad, like, the kid is, like, nice and insensitive, and the dad views that as weakness. And so,
right.
So the dad does, and the kid even says, like, my dad doesn't like me. You know what I mean? And so,
he just tolerates me.
Yeah. Just
we've all been there, kid.
Just real quick, circling back ever so quickly.
Yeah.
Slipknot is on Roadrunner Records, and past
that
artists that have been on Roadrunner Records is like the Dresden Dolls and Dream Theater and Dragon Force, Opeth, Glassjaw. Like there's a lot of for some reason the Outlaws were on there for a while.
What?
They sang Greengrass and High Tide.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Here's Young the Giant, New York Dolls,
Dragon Force claim to fame is that song on Guitar Hero.
Ah,
that's if you've never seen that, go. I mean, if you have like, you know,
yeah,
6 minutes to kill, but, which sounds like you might at your new job.
I very well might, but yeah, but Cradle of Filth is on there. So, but my larger point is that if you like some of those smaller bands, Nickelback is subsidizing them.
Yes. Yeah. Like, if you're a fan of those guys, Nickelback is paying the dime, basically.
Yes. So, like, if you like that sort of music and those sorts of bands, then you should tip your hat to Nickelback because they, I don't think they're with Roadrunner anymore, but they were like the bread and butter of that label for a long time. So
there's a comedian who does a great bit.
I saw about what did Nickelback ever do to you?
Yes,
like,
that guy. Yeah, that's a good bit.
It is a great bit. And then at the end where he's like, and you know, the
what
same
about
thing about
Guy
Fieri. So anyways.
But yeah, so his team gets taken out. He is kind of a man alone. He's got to like figure out how to get this kid to from point A to point B alone. He has no backup. This is the scene that you were talking about where they go into an apartment building and it is probably one of the best laid out. And that's the advantage. Sometimes you get these guys that are stunt directors who can figure out how to do stunts but can't really direct a movie.
Right.
You know, But the guys we have had recently, the dudes that did Deadpool, the guys that did John Wick, all of the Atomic Blonde, like all of those guys have directed really well. Atomic Blonde doesn't get the credit it should.
I have not seen
it. That was a fun action movie, and Charlize Theron kicks some ass in that movie.
Yeah, she is good in stuff like that.
Yeah, and she's in the new Netflix comic book movie called Old Guard.
Okay.
It'll be out in July. So this current batch of stunt coordinators that have moved into directing have figured it out.
Yeah.
Which was not the case 30 to 40 years ago. So this is a massive fight scene where Hemsworth is just tearing through. And I do actually like that it's not one shot and done, right? Like, they're wearing body armor, so he has to go back and make sure they're actually dead.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of you could tell he's trying to shoot between the gaps in the body armor. Like, the first bullet might take him down, but he has to give him a second to actually make sure that they're dead.
Yeah, or try to snap their neck or do whatever they have to do.
Boy, there's another scene, and again, it all kind of blurs together. It's hard to remember what lands where, but where Chris Hemsworth is battling with that guy, and he goes over the side of the building and to the ground while he's tussling with the other guy. And like the camera follows them all the way down. And
that's
then,
the main guy. That's the guy that's like the bad guy throughout this whole
and
movie.
And it's just, I mean, there is a lot of camera work in this movie where I'm just like, how did they do that?
I mean, there has to be some CGI trick, but I guess there, I mean, maybe not. Maybe that a drone, maybe.
But I don't think a drone could move that quickly.
Could you put a camera on a wire?
Maybe. I don't know.
And
but like
have it like on a remote and move it up and down.
Maybe. I don't know. But like, yeah. And it's probably some combination of those things, you know, but
or even a GoPro. Right. Like a GoPro on somebody's if you put a harness on somebody's back.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, like I said, there's so much camera work in this movie where I'm just like, I don't even know how they did that.
Then that's the beginning of that scene. Them falling off that ledge leads to the car chase that is just bonkers. And Hemsworth hits a guy with big fight scene. Hemsworth is in this truck and he ends up hitting a guy with a truck. And the kid's like, did you just hit that guy with a truck?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, get in the car. So they, you know, they take off and they kind of go to ground. And we don't really get a lot of development from the bad guys other than throwing children off roofs. So we know they're the bad guys.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that's ultimately my complaint about this movie is that I just like if this movie had a better story, it would be amazing. And it's like in the stunt work, you know, this movie lives and dies from stunt to stunt. And it, when there is a stunt that is, I won't say not working, but it's just more run of the mill.
Sure.
Then it doesn't necessarily hold my interest, but there's a lot in this movie that's really good. But, but if it had a better story and I was more invested in these characters, I just had a hard time like getting into who they were. If this wasn't Chris Hemsworth, who you already like from other things, you probably wouldn't care.
This would not be as good as it is.
Yes.
I think, and that's a testament to him, right? Like
totally.
Even we talk about his comedic timing and how you know, in like Ghostbusters or even he doesn't really get to show it as much in the first two Thors, but in the third one, they figured that guy out.
Yeah, they figured out he was funny.
Right. So there's even bits and pieces of it. It's almost like he, no matter how hard he tries, like he can't not let some of that humor slip.
Totally. Yeah.
You know? And I think that is what makes a perfect action star. Even with all the Schwarzenegger stuff, all the Stallone stuff, Willis, all the, you know, Russell, all those guys, there is an element, with the exception of like in Rocky or Cobra, there's an element of humor that they can deliver on. And I feel like this is the first time I remember, as I'm watching this, I was like, Hemsworth is an 80s action star.
Yeah.
Like he would have slid right into that role, but he's got more charisma than any of those guys.
Yeah.
There's
and
just
I would
another...
say, I think Rocky had humor in it. It's just that the humor wasn't him, like, spouting quips. A lot of the jokes were kind of at Rocky's expense, or
yeah, that's true.
Rocky being self-deprecating. But I definitely think Rocky had some humor to it.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's very true. So it's just, it's interesting. Obviously, he's a movie star. That's when you're in the Marvel movies and you're gonna be the only guy that gets a fourth movie.
Yeah,
you know, like your character is gonna get a fourth movie. You're a movie star. But to
especially
me, this,
when it took him two movies to figure out what to do with you,
it took him almost. I mean, yeah, if you count the Avengers, like it almost took him. Yeah. Five movies, you know?
Yeah, true.
This dude, it's crazy to see. He was a nobody.
Yeah.
You know, he was James T. Kirk's dad in Star Trek. That was the first time we saw him. And now he is a megastar. And to me, if this movie had been in theaters, he is a ultra mega action star.
Yeah.
In this movie. Like, there's... He's not going to be, he's going to beat up Jason Bourne. Like, that's, well, and not worry about it, you know?
He's got a foot and 100 pounds on him.
Yeah, that's also true. That's a good point. Yeah. So they go to ground and they kind of like try to regroup. And this is the scene where they're in the, they're trying to steal the car. They're in that warehouse and he has to beat up the kids. And I do like that he's kicking the crap out of these kids, but he's not hurting them. He's just kind of throwing them around.
Yeah.
Which is like, yeah, that's okay. So you're not the Punisher, because the Punisher would probably kill children. But you keep him as your hero. He's not doing anything mean, but he is very annoyed.
Yeah.
With these children. And then this is where we go to David Harbour, I think.
Yeah, I think that's, and then Harbour's character, he's like an old mercenary buddy,
right?
And he's letting them stay there so they can rest up, and then he figures out who the kid is, and basically like, hey, look, we should kill this kid and split the 10 mil.
Hemsworth is like, you're drunk. Let's not.
Especially when he's like, look, they're gonna kill the kid no matter what. So.
Right. Let's just do it now. He's like, no, let's not. And did you ever see Safe House? With Ryan Reynolds and Denzel Washington?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so there's a scene in that movie that is one of the low-key best fight scenes I've ever seen. And it's between the guy that was Rick Flagg in Suicide Squad, Joel Edgerton. Not Joel Edgerton. Whatever. The guy that was RoboCop.
Okay.
In the remake. And Ryan Reynolds. And it is brutal, and it's perfect. That's what I thought. I was like, man, if we get old man David Harbour and Chris Hemsworth having this knockdown, gross and gritty and dirty fight, like fist fight, this will be the best action movie I've ever seen. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, no.
But we do David Harbour, who is another guy that I think is severe. Like, he got hosed on that Hellboy movie.
Yeah, like, I thought he was solid, and there were things to like in there. And I'm not like a huge fan of the original one, so I didn't walk in like, these movies can never be topped. How dare you touch right. this? And I liked him as Hellboy.
I did too.
The movie itself was, but he was not the problem.
No, he was not the problem. So like, I like seeing him show up, and he's also another one that is very funny. Like, if you know, obviously we know him from Stranger Things. He's been in some other stuff, but Stranger Things kind of brought him back to the forefront, and now he's in Black Widow, and he's got some comedic stuff to do in there.
Yeah.
But like, it was just nice to see him in this world as like a bad guy, and of course, the kid realizing that Hemsworth was in trouble, and Hemsworth at this point has taken so much damage that he isn't the same fighter that he has been.
Right.
He's beat up. He's cut. He's bleeding all over the place.
And the kid finally believes that Hemsworth does want to save him.
Right.
You know,
right.
Initially, he isn't sure.
Yes. And he kills David Harbour. Like, he shoots David Harbour in the back and kind of puts him down. And they got to get to this bridge. And this is like, there are moments in this movie where you're just like, mate, are we going to get, Like, are we going to get the ending that we should get?
Right.
Or are we going to get the ending where they're like, we might have something with this character. And do we see him? Well, we'll get into it.
Yeah.
So they realize they have to get to this bridge. But obviously between the bridge and them is all of the bad guys. Like, every bad guy that is in Bangladesh at this point has shown up at this bridge. And it is a bloody, massive gunfight. Like, there's no other way to describe it.
Yeah.
The Hemsworth realizes that he cannot do this alone. So he contacts the kids. Somehow he gets in contact with this kid's, like, security detail. The guy that he's been fighting the entire time is like, we got to work together. Otherwise, this is never going to, well, this kid's going to die. And there is definitely a connection between this kid and the bodyguard. I've yet to figure out what that is, because I feel like he was trying to kill the kid the entire time too, but whatever.
Right.
And this is, we get to the, they try to sneak him across, and this is the, where we get the colonel that the drug lord had been previously talking to. They're watching. It's kind of cool. Like, the drug lord is watching from above and watching, like, he's at this massive home and he's watching the bridge below him and he's watching this happen. And Hemsworth is just this. We lose the bodyguard, right? Like, he gets the kid to the bus.
Yeah.
And then he gets shot. I mean, like, he's taking all this damage. Because
the colonel is like a sniper, right?
And right.
And he's sniping people. And then, like, the two soldiers, I think, finally get the drop on him. But he's, like, shooting them the whole time he's dying.
That was a good one.
It was a pretty epic death on his part.
Yeah. Very anti-hero, but redemption death.
Yeah.
And he gets up and he's kind of leaning against the bus. He's got the kid safe on the bus. And then, of course, he gets his brains blown out.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not even exaggerating. That's exactly what happens. So Hemsworth realizes that this kid's in trouble. He pulls a Superman or a Thor, I guess, and starts to just tear through the remaining bad guys while avoiding, the sniper, sort of. Hemsworth takes some damage. Kid gets to where he needs to get. The gal who was, they don't really say that she's a love interest, but they hint around it that maybe there's some sort of thing there. I don't really know. They don't, you know, there's no wife that he's trying to get back to. It's just him being a badass.
Yeah.
She finds the sniper, and just as he's about to kill Hemsworth, she kills him. So very, very cool scene. Kid gets away, gets to where he's supposed to be. But as Hemsworth thinks he's winding up the mission, he gets shot in the neck and he's leaking blood all over the place. And we cut back to this character who was out of focus. And it turns out it was the kid from the beginning of the movie. Who's
the quick thinking kid
the witty kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's kind of how that scene ends, is the kid, you know, the Hemsworth falls. Now, technically, we don't see a body.
Right. He falls into the river.
If they want to.
But we also see at the beginning of the movie, like, him jumping off that cliff and, like, sitting underwater holding his breath for a long period of time. Of course, he was also in peak health. He hadn't been shot 50
times. That's
true.
Yeah. So, you know, and there's no, we don't know how Netflix makes money on these, right?
Yeah.
They've yet to figure it. They've yet to tell anybody how they make money.
Far, I think so far they haven't. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. There's no rhyme or reason.
Yeah.
So if it, you know, usually if a movie makes over its budget and does really well, you get a sequel. I don't know.
Well, they've already greenlit a sequel to this one.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I am for it.
Well, there's two more scenes though in the movie.
There is. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So we cut to 8 months later.
And the kid's kind of just living his life. You know, he's changed.
There's one before that in the restroom.
Is that before the kid or is that after the kid?
It's before the kid because it ends with the kid at the pool.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
So we cut to this, you know, extravagant restaurant. We see the drug lord that's been out and orchestrated this whole thing. And this could have gone one of two ways. And I love the way they went with it.
Yeah.
This was fantastic. It's instead of giving you Hemsworth coming into the bathroom and blowing his brains out. We get Hemsworth's handler, the girl with the sniper rifle from earlier on the bridge.
Right.
And she blows this guy's brains out.
Yeah.
And the scene that I love the most is she kills him. And then she leans over his body, fires like five more bullets. And as she's walking away, like the blood trail from her dress, like just kind of follows her out of the room. And I was like, you should probably take that off. Like, I mean, I don't mean that in a sexual way. I feel like you're dragging evidence with you wherever you go. And then we cut to the kid who's definitely, he's had a change. He's changed. He's not the same kind of laid back kid. He jumps off this high dive and he ends the movie sitting in the water. Kind of like how we begin the movie with Hemsworth.
Yeah, and he comes up in the water, and then in the background, out of focus, you see someone who might or might not be Hemsworth.
Correct.
Because it's blurry, and you don't know for sure. But given that they greenlighted a second movie,
I have to believe that it's Hemsworth.
It was Hemsworth.
Or they're just like, we can't afford Chris. how much for the brother?
Right.
No. Not the one from The Hunger Games. The one from...
The Good Place.
World. Yeah, The Good Place. Yeah, right.
The fictional one from The Good Place.
One, the other one.
This movie was real, was good. Like, I thought it lives and dies on the stunts, and the stunts are good, and it's worth watching for that.
Yes, it is absolutely worth watching for that. I also it's a great throwback to those old action movies that we don't really get anymore.
Absolutely. And if you already have Netflix, you already paid for it, so you might as well check it out.
Right.
If we're wrong, you can bail.
Yeah, who doesn't have Netflix?
Right. So, anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Joe, where can people find you?
They can find me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
And this is Tom. You can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online, Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. And, of course, check us out on Patreon, Patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So that's it for this one. Kevin will return next week. Our apologies. And we will return to our series on Misbegotten sequels. We will tackle 2001 and then follow it up with an episode on 2010. So until then, you've been warned.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.